You're listening to Good News, Good Music, 24 hours a day. KDNW 90.5 FM.
A good comeback story in my life.
Yeah, you need to work on your testimony.
Where? I did, yeah. So you need to really screw it up and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm down.
But what can
you
do?
Don't go full tiger, though.
As long as you can guarantee me that you can come back because I like this job.
Okay. Eight Denny's waitresses or something, don't.
And that I still get paid.
Don't go full tiger.
Yeah, that's important to Gerf because he's got to continue playing poker.
I got to continue doing life, living.
So that's our only conditions bills. Is that yeah. you have to continue to pay us while you're in this
slump.
This sort of rebellious phase.
Tim is in Costa Rica at a some rehab place. What's wrong? We don't know. He says he needs to go away for 3 months,
and then you come back and
he says just keep putting money in this offshore account. We don't know what's going on.
You're tan and you're wearing like those flower shirts at every show now, and you're just like so.
Okay, where
out.
Would you go if you needed to disappear? Where would you guys go?
Ooh. I don't know. That's a good one.
Whether you're in trouble or whether you just need to get away and just get off the grid, where would you go?
I don't know how you would even go off the grid these days. It'd be really hard, right?
Chappelle
did it. You'd have to make yourself. But yeah, I guess he did. But we all knew about it. We knew that he was in Africa. It was in the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but nobody knew.
That's true. They kind of.
It was like, is it just a front? I'd probably go to Canada.
Mm-hmm. You think Canada's far enough to get off the grid?
Canada has enough.
You'd blend
open
in up there.
Grid.
You got the beard.
Yeah, Canada has enough open land.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. But do you think of yourself as somebody who could live off the land though?
No,
find the open land. And
no, I would pay someone to hide me, like Breaking Bad. Say I want to. What was the phrase that they used?
I want to. The Hoover 100.
It was a vacuum.
Yeah, it was a vacuum model.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it in order for a vacuum, and that basically meant they wanted a new identity, and that they would.
Yeah.
They got shipped out by a minivan. Minivan would pick them up, and then they would get a new identity.
I thought of a movie idea.
Good segue.
The premise is it's about Canada.
Yeah.
It's the premise is that Canadians aren't real people. We're growing them just to harvest their organs.
What in the name?
And that's all I've got so far.
Well, wasn't there a thing about Canada that Kathleen Madigan used to say was like, it's America's attic?
It's the attic.
It's like every now and then we go in there, look at all this stuff up here. I didn't know there was stuff up here. And then we shut the lid and go back down. And you shut the hatch. It's cold up here. Let's get out of here. That's funny. Yeah, I had an idea for a movie. And a buddy of mine, a guy that I know, he writes thrillers. And so I was like, dude, I got an idea for a thriller.
Hey,
and it's
keep it down.
And so this the idea that I had was, it's a serial killer is like striking, but it's totally random. They don't know. They just know like all these crimes are connected, and they don't know why all the murders are similar though.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out towards the middle of the movie, like at the end of the second act, they realize it's tied together because a famous comedian... A famous comedian, that's his tour schedule. And so the red herring, though, is they all arrest the comedian, and then the murders keep going, and it was his opener the whole time.
Oh.
So the opener ends up being the guy they weren't looking for.
Did they pull his mask up at the end?
it was the Gardener!
It's a Scooby-Doo ending. Yeah. So the movie would be called I Killed. So it's kind of on the nose, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could be something. But yeah, I like the idea of Canadians aren't real. That's just such a funny, offensive thing to say.
I don't really even know. They're too nice, maybe.
They are. They're a little too nice.
I see you. I see you doing the chips. It's super funny. Go in the back lounge. I get it. You're making noise.
Gosh.
So that it makes it hard to
this
edit.
Is why we
I
don't
get
have
it.
Seven headsets.
Hilarious.
You're the reason we don't have seven headsets.
I'm not here anymore.
Oh, right. You're in college, big air quotes.
Big air quotes.
Wrecked.
Boom.
Yeah, I can accumulate debt too. Watch. Anyway, good luck with your education.
I think I would go to China.
To
you
China?
Get lost in China.
There's a lot of people there.
Because I would just blend right in because I look like. Well, I get that a lot.
Hey, Tim, who's that guy walking down the street?
Is Tim Asian?
Yeah. Okay, I didn't think that through.
Asian descent.
All you see is Tim's head walking down the street.
Yeah. I guess the question is, what's the goal? Are you just trying to escape? Are you trying to escape and like live another life, establish a new career?
No, just
start
get,
an Asian family.
Just to get some breathing room, right?
Well, no, couple. Or just to, if you had to hide, or if you had to just, if you wanted to just disappear from where you were.
How long? Like 5 years?
I don't know. Maybe a year to 5 years.
I think I would go in the mountains somewhere because I think I could live off the land.
No.
Yeah.
I think what I would you live it. Off of in the mountains?
I would figure out a way to hunt and trap.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Just figure out a way to hunt and trap?
Is that bizarre?
I have no idea.
How I think
I know that.
No,
Solo
I don't
could
know.
Never
I can't
do
tell
it.
You if you could or couldn't.
I think I could.
I think you would I mean, figure I've it out. If, I think before. Your internal instincts would kick in, and you would figure
I mean,
it out.
Like
if you were getting hungry,
things.
You'd figure
we
it out how
have
to kill
a new
an animal.
Show for you, and we'll call it Naked and Confident.
I can't relate to it.
It's like
relate
Alex to Naked. That's... But he's not afraid. He's very confident.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's naked. Naked and Gerb.
Naked not afraid.
Naked, not afraid. How about Naked and Afraid? Freight.
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid. Yeah. So it's you and Chris. Naked.
You're are they both naked or just Freight?
Yeah,
regular?
Just like in an old Walmart or something. Just hanging out.
Just you guys just walking around Walmart.
That's pretty yeah, good
an out-of-business Walmart.
I think that'd be a good show. I'd watch
I would watch that.
They'd pixelate, you know, all the little freight parts.
Out of the five of us, who would be most likely to survive in the wilderness by themselves?
The five, okay. Oh, man.
Mm. Man, yeah.
Well, Chris has no direction. So yeah. He's got that over us.
I'd buddy. Find the road.
He found his way to civilization.
I'd find my way to civilization.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a tough question.
It's not going to go well.
It's probably
for me.
Alex. I don't know what you
I just
definitely
think that there's.
I'm the first one dead.
Probably Alex.
I think that it just depends on how everything would kick in. So you were talking about where you would go or, you know, how you would survive. So this is a little video of Shop and Save. Whoops. Today, Susan took. Because they're all changing to Schnucks, you know?
What's happening?
The shelves are bare.
It's
it looks
zombie
like
apocalypse.
It looks like.
Looks like.
Yeah,
looks like North Korea.
Well, that's
or like
question.
Who 12 flakes of snow in Nashville are called for,
yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
Who would live longer? Yeah.
Do they do that?
Apocalypse.
Do they do milk and bread still?
Oh my god, they do
milk sandwiches.
I don't know what they do. I don't know what you do with all the milk and bread.
Who does this?
Anytime, like if you live in a town where there's no snow a lot, like we get one or two snows a year. So anytime they're like, snow, they'll cancel school, the drop of a hat, and then people raid the stores and milk and bread.
The milk and bread is all gone.
Even if you don't normally have milk and bread in your home.
They do that in St. Louis, too.
Yeah.
They really do. I mean, it's, and we have snow. It's not like we don't have snow.
Yeah.
And everybody rushes the grocery store. There's this
mad dash. I mean, has
anybody
ever really been trapped in your house in the Midwest for that long?
No.
If you live in like North Dakota, I get it. You can get, but
tweet us if you've been trapped in your house for that long.
If you have, we apologize. I don't want to be insensitive. We got a ton of questions and interesting.
It's just, Johnny, if you get up in the morning and you want toast,
right.
You got to have bread. And then, like, if for lunch, you're like, I want a grilled cheese.
Also,
what are you going to do?
Right.
For dinner. Honey, can you make some bread pudding?
So, there's a lot of things you can do with bread, Freight. You're right.
You're right.
Just,
sandwich.
That's about it.
It's a lot of options for bread that you're going to want to do.
You know?
Oh, my
toast.
Gosh. Here's one. Candy corn. Candy corn, yes or no? That's
yes.
Big.
No.
Yeah. You're a candy corn fan?
Yeah. No.
What about the ones that look like little tiny tea-light candles? They're little pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like wax.
Yes.
No, not in.
I actually like the, don't they have some chocolate, or it's like orange
it's,
and chocolate
yes,
candy
it's
corn?
It's more of a chocolatey.
That is not as
waxy and oily.
Yeah, it doesn't have that. That taste
the line
the other
of Lewis
does.
Black, I always remember, is one of my favorite things. I don't really care for Lewis Black, but he has this one line about candy corn. He says, all the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1914. He proposes that, like, every year, we only have a couple of pieces. Then the candy corn minions are sent out by the candy companies to go through our garbage and bag it back up and then represent it.
It probably would stay fresh. How do you know a fresh candy? Yeah, I like eating candy corn. Like, it's got the little white tip. Eat off the little tip, then
do
I eat off the yellow
do one
bottom.
Color at a time.
Do you eat the
one
do
color
you eat,
at a time?
Now wait, do you go from the top or the bottom?
What is the top or bottom? I go to the point.
You make fangs, right? You naturally do that
point,
first.
The white tip.
You make the Dracula
fangs.
You
start at the point, and then you do the...
Then I go to the yellow base.
You try to bite it to where there's right at the line?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And then you realize that there's a little bit of yellow in the orange.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, dang it, I got to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the pumpkins, too, because I've told you guys in kindergarten, if you took a nap, they put a little candy corn pumpkin by
your reward.
And you're like, thank you, Mrs. Nelson. Bungie bump. Sneepy, sneepy. Booger, sniggins, dog. Bing bong.
What other Halloween candy did you like as a kid that they don't really have anymore? Or they maybe still make?
What did, well, let's see.
What did you hate? Maybe we should say that. What did you hate getting?
Necco wafers.
What did you hate getting?
Yeah. Pennies. Anything in a bag. Anything homemade.
That really narrows it down.
Well, they used to give you little white bags, and there was just like...
Oh, yeah.
Like a Ziploc bag.
You know what I really don't like is Bit of Honeys.
Yeah. It's like you take...
Make up your mind.
It's like takes your crown of your tooth right off. It's like, well, that cement wasn't on there good.
Yeah. My two worst filling. Was if they would throw in... A single bag of hot chocolate mix. You ever get one of those?
No.
Or
somebody forgot it was Halloween.
Yeah. Or
get the pickles and the hot chocolate mix.
Here's your flashing slice.
Here's what I don't like. When a candy company makes like a great candy, let's say here's Tootsie Rolls. Tootsie Rolls are great.
Yeah.
But then they started making like flavored Tootsie Rolls that were like grape and I just don't get it.
Vanilla.
I like the flavored better than the regular.
I just think stay with what you're good at.
Oh no, strawberry, lime, lemon. Oh,
lemon Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah. And I'm not a lemon guy, but I like the lemon Tootsie Rolls, The little
a lemon guy. I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
He is not a lemon guy.
The little midget
ones.
I'll
stand with these accusations.
Lemon heads I loved. I like lemon heads.
I don't
lemon heads are good.
So the other one is popcorn balls. Did you ever get a popcorn ball?
Oh yeah.
That is like why?
What holds it together? What's in the popcorn ball?
Sugar, sorghum.
Why?
Yeah, it's just like, why? What's the purpose of this?
What is fusing it together?
That's what he's saying. People are whipping
syrup?
Up sorghum.
Sorghum?
Syrup?
They're out there in their tree.
Syrup?
The lye soap lady from Silver Dollar City is like brewing.
She's out there banging the spigot in a tree.
Popcorn balls.
What is sorghum?
Turning it?
The sorghum.
Like molasses?
Like sugary.
Like syrup.
It's sugary.
Where do they get
syrup?
It? Get, did it get it? Like
it's what you get from a tree. Sorghum tree.
Caves.
Sorghum. My dad used to work in the sorghum mines.
Sorghum mine.
I don't know. You know I don't know stuff.
He got sugar lung.
I used to say my dad used to work in the sequin mines. I tell you what, prom season was real hard on my family.
I can't eat any candy corn anymore. I just can't.
Every time I see a prom dress, I just weep bitterly.
Yeah, I would divide the candy into, you know, I've got the chocolate, the candy bars.
Yeah.
Stuff you want, stuff you don't want.
This, like A-list.
Yeah, there's a savory and a sweet, maybe.
A-list,
B-list. More of your Skittles, licorice.
Yeah.
I don't really,
Was A-list licorice, like Snickers, Almond Joys?
Oh, yeah.
That was all the little miniature candy bars.
Does anybody like black licorice?
Oh, man, when somebody would give you like a king-size Snickers, well, we didn't have king-size, but a full-size Snickers bar, you were like,
there's one house.
Yeah. Yes.
Black house. And we
black
knew.
Jelly beans?
It's the divorce
like
guy
every year.
The divorce guy, and he just wants friends. I'd say
he wrote his number on the back
bar,
of
the Crunch Bar is
great. Well done.
I worked at the mall. It was called Webster Menswear. And you know how kids started, like in the 80s, trick-or-treating in the mall.
Yeah.
Really?
And I ate a bag of miniature Crunch bars. The whole
like
bag.
Like Nestle Crunch?
Probably
like
4,000 calories.
So you're talking about like a Nestle Crunch?
Yeah, Nestle Crunch.
Yeah.
Not the Hershey Crunch. The
Crackle.
Yeah.
Crackle. No.
I did choose those over the other four options whenever they
good
were
good bar.
Mixed up.
What's
the
that?
Classic Dark.
The classic
special dark or whatever.
Okay, if you had a Milky Way, Snicker, Twix, or Crunch Bar, which one would you pick?
Snickers.
Milky Way.
I like Twix.
I don't like chocolate, so I wouldn't eat any of it.
You're so boring.
I really love
just kind of plain Hershey's bars.
Do you like Twix or
just a plain milk chocolate?
I just eat some plantains and
so do you like them in the freezer?
Anything in the freezer I like.
Some Snickers
in the freezer.
Yes. We're going
to
Twix are good because it's like having the caramel and the cookie and the chocolate all cold.
Yeah. I eat the Twix. I eat the cookie first.
Yeah.
And then I roll up The caramel.
What?
Wait.
You take out the cookie and it's just a long thing of caramel, yeah. And I roll it up like a.
Yeah.
I roll it. And
then you like, I've never seen this. You throw it at your kids. Yeah. That's what you get.
Yeah.
I like sour stuff. So I liked the sour Skittles.
You like Sour Patch Kids?
Love Sour Patch Kids.
When you finished the Skittles, there was all that stuff at the bottom.
Oh, I was just. Dump it. I just can't believe I survived. Oh.
My jaw is clenching right now.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I get out of jaw even thinking about it.
I would get sick for 2 days if I did that now.
I can't do that.
Did you have Lick-A-Maid? Remember Lick-A-Maid?
Yeah, you mean
there was a white sugar stick, and you'd lick it, and you'd stick it in the powder.
Fun dip.
Fun dip.
They used Lick-A-Maid. But then they would, you ever, like, you eat the stick, you're like, now I got this bag of powder. Because the stick's so good, you're like.
I can't save the stick.
You got to turn that pouch up.
That's like the long pixie sticks that you used to get, the pixie sticks.
Here comes that.
Yeah, those, like Little League Baseball, that's what I, those big,
long. The big, long pixie sticks.
Just dumping sugar down your gullet.
Remember in middle school, we used to dare kids to snort pixie sticks.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yep.
Done that multiple times.
Yep.
Were you Tim? Were you were a class clown?
Didn't that burn?
Right? Were you a funny kid?
I did like
did you
imitations.
Did you eat
stuff
on a dare and stuff like that? Like Tim will eat it.
No.
But you did impressions and things. That's how I got started too.
Yeah.
So I would do like Casey Kasem, and I would do like Howard Cosell,
Wolfman
and
Jack,
stuff.
Or Howard Cosell.
Or I would do whoever had been on Johnny Carson the night before. I would try to remember their jokes.
Yeah.
So dumb, but
heck.
I did. We had dance.
And I still do it.
We had dancing one time in gym class.
Okay.
As in elementary school. And I just pulled out the moves.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just like, what are we doing here? And I just went for it.
You went full ham. Were you more of a, like, I'm trying to get a vibe on what you were like in school, though. Because I was talking about this with John, my buddy, because we do a podcast. And I was like, I consider myself a site-specific exhibitionist. Like, if you give me the right.
Yeah.
Situation, then I'll go full ham. But then if you go, do it again, like in school, they'd be like, do that again. I'll be like, no.
Because like, now everyone is watching.
I wanted to control the narrative.
Yeah.
And were you more like that, or were you like, no, I'll do it as many times as you want? I cannot imagine dancing for classmates. That would never be something I'd be like, I'm feeling this.
Yeah. Well, I think because we used to watch Soul Train and American Bandstand and stuff.
So and how they just line gold. Up. And
yeah.
Then they'd take
you're feeling
turns.
Your Marilyn McCoo.
Yeah. I didn't like square dancing, but I did like, we just.
Let's do the Virginia Rule.
But were you doing it like Virginia as a serious dancing? Like, I'm going to show you my moves. Or were you trying to make people laugh when you were dancing?
Well, no, I was trying to be serious. But I like the energy of it. Like, when I was in fifth grade, I was Steve Martin. In our talent show.
Oh, cool.
And, that was kind of, that was serious. It was a very serious moment where in front of a few hundred people in a, you know, elementary gym. And I was just like, what is this? And
you got laughs?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you would have kept going? Like, if it had gone badly, you see yourself going a different path? Like, well, that didn't go.
I don't think, I was still too young, but I didn't know what it was. I don't know what. Okay, what is this?
Yeah.
How do I do this again?
How old were you?
Fifth grade.
God, that's so cool.
And
I didn't have anything like that.
The year before that, we did choir, and I had like a solo it was called Manana. It was pretty racist. I mean, it was basically a racist, and I had a fake mustache and a sombrero.
Yeah.
And I still remember my part.
Let's hear it.
It's manana, manana, manana is good enough for me. And like people have sort of, and my part was, my brother took his suitcase, he went.
You were making a song.
Okay, I totally swear to you.
You're singing
manana. My brother took his suitcase, he went away to school. My father said that I would learn to be a silly fool. My mother said I should learn to make a chili pot, but then I burned the house down. The chili was too hot.
Dude, I mean, oh, it exploded.
And all the white soccer moms are like, he's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just exploded. Because you know how the kids are, they're all good in there, but to do any kind of voice like that.
If you really sell out to it.
Yeah.
I need to need to ask mom if she remembers that because she was amazing. A teacher in your school. She was a sixth grade teacher.
And if I do, there's film somewhere of that.
Oh,
I'm
sure there is. So did Steve Martin, did you do like, did you do Wild and Crazy Guy? Was that popular
Wild
at
and Crazy
the time?
Guy, the arrow through the head and the banjo. And I was the host of the talent show.
Oh,
and okay. I remember I had little index cards for how I was going to introduce everybody, and so I did little bits in between and just kind of acted like Steve Martin.
Yeah, yeah. And, just emceed the whole thing.
Like, yeah. And I just remember going to the ice cream place afterwards, you know, the after party at the ice cream place.
Oh, yeah.
And people were just like, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's
He's
him.
A star.
That's the guy with an arrow through his head.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a star.
And I'll tell you another funny thing is the next year they wanted me to do it again. I was, they're going to have me do different characters, and I quit.
Huh. You wanted to go out on top?
Well, I was just like, I felt too much pressure. Like, I didn't know how I was going to top that. And I really, that was like,
that's a fear. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Or you don't want to be tight? Like, look at this other part and for you. It's a Mexican. You're like, I can't. Well, I'm being typecast.
Right. Well, and also, the sixth and seventh grade is kind of an age where you start to get that shell. Like, I do not want to make a fool of myself.
Yeah, it's kind of, you are what other seventh graders say you are.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. So you're afraid of.
I think seventh grade is the time when kids are just, they get that awareness and.
Yeah.
Oh, they just kind of. They don't want to get exposed.
Yeah, it's like I spent a lot of my life, those years, trying not to stand out, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to stand out. It's such a strange thing when you come out, you're like, what can I show the world that's different about me? But your whole childhood's like, don't be a weirdo, just be normal, please hold it together.
Yeah.
How do you feel like middle school age kids have shifted from when you guys were kids and even like when Alex and I were? Because now it is all about, like, be different, whatever.
Maybe,
but
yeah.
But there's still that pressure, like, the competition of a middle school and bullying and all that stuff.
Like, do you think social media is cyberbullying now,
yeah,
too.
Do you think that it's... Do you think kids are more cautious and hesitant, or do you think they're more outgoing and forthright with the way
that
they act?
I don't know, I think, like, John, my buddy John, his daughter, like, he told her one day, he's like, she's like, I want to be famous. Like, she didn't say, I want to learn to play guitar or be a good singer. She just says, I want to be famous.
Yeah.
At least she's honest. It's like, that's terrifying to hear as well.
Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about.
Famous for what, honey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She grew out of it. He said she doesn't talk like that anymore, but it's like, she's like 7 or 8. She's like, I want to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Sweetie.
Just for fame's sake.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, with my sister, and like, Tim and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. It's weird because she's in sixth grade now, and it's like the second she went into sixth grade, she turned into this different person. And she, like, is this little adult.
Yeah.
And way more than I was at that age. One, she's a girl. Two, social media and all that stuff has convinced all these kids that they're older than they are.
Yeah.
And, but there's still that, like, almost baby-like innocence.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like living in this weird in between. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That? And it's like,
well,
that weird.
They their outward appearance, they look older, but there's still a lot of that.
I wouldn't want to do it over again.
Young,
I know that.
Young,
I used to think that way. It's like, if I could go back and do school now and I'd have the confidence that I have now, it's like, I would be so different. It's like,
yeah.
You don't, but you don't get to do
you
that.
You just never know.
You don't know. Don't.
That's kind of a silly game to play. I've done it too. Like, if I could go back, we just don't know.
I always think
if it would have been better or not.
Yeah, because like your hormones are crazy, everything's nuts. You feel insecure, you know. So it's like you even if you had the knowledge of an adult, you'd be like, you'd still be a goob.
I think so.
If you're a dork,
the hormone when that hit me in high school, I think, gosh, I wish I treated people better. But back then, you're just like you're just like a little, you know, little pervert.
Yeah,
you know. And I have my own like. I don't know. I mean, just people are, I don't know. People are stupid.
Got him.
Well, I was trying to think of something to say. I'm like, that's not going to come out right. So how do I get out of this?
That was your second choice. People are stupid.
What questions do you have there?
I've got, what would your perfect day look like?
That's perfect day?
What was your perfect day?
Being with the family.
Yesterday was
I was going to say yesterday was pretty cool.
Nice, except I had more family involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, it's that first day of fall. Sun comes out.
Real chill in the
sun comes out.
Gosh, it's beautiful.
You're with friends. You're with friends. You're hitting a ball.
You got a show that day. People took time out of their day to come see you do your dumb jokes. It's great. Yeah.
Hot dog.
Cool bris.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to work tonight. We're going to go do something that we love to do and do it together.
It's pretty cool.
It really is. Perfect day. I would say a little beach time, a little, you know. Oh, sorry.
No, I just wanted to slowly fade out.
Somebody actually asked what age you started comedy, so now we know. I never knew that Steve Martin story. That's really interesting. Yeah, that was your first.
The actual stand-up was in 91.
Yeah.
So
I was negative 23
four. When I first tried it. Yeah. You know, legit.
And was it like at a club?
And I went, yeah. I went full-time at, I think I was 33. I went full-time. So, it took me a while. What are you doing? Quit it. Turn that diffuser off. Gee.
Too much.
No, I'm kidding. It's nice.
Okay.
Was there any break in between that 10 years? Were you consistent through that, or did you have
sort
times where
of.
You like you kind of gave up and then got back to it?
Yeah, I mean, there's like some years I do like maybe 8 shows the whole year, and then I might do 20 or something, but it didn't go too long before I would do some kind of show or something. Yeah. And then I guess when Todd first was with me, I can't remember how many we did the first year, maybe 40, maybe the first year he
story,
was with me.
I feel like that story needs to be, you guys have talked about that on the podcast before, haven't you? About when he went out with you for the first time and stuff.
Yeah.
I think those are so fat. Those stories. He was like, it was like a bonfire for youth.
Yeah.
And his
first
job,
he leaves a 6-figure job.
Yeah.
And
5 kids.
Mm-hmm. It was a youth camp in Oklahoma. I went, performed at 8 o'clock at night. Sun was down. It was dark.
Yeah. You're lit by the bonfire.
And there was a bonfire behind me. And I had a couple of tracks on this little boombox. Yeah. And for so maybe 100 people.
Todd said, fourth graders
and their parents.
Todd said, it was my job to hit play on the boombox.
Uh-huh.
He goes, and I had extra batteries in my pocket, so I was a good manager. I had extra batteries for backup.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, this is such a cool.
Jeez.
We do the thing, and he was like, Todd says, you know, once he saw me do that, he says we could do it. We could do this. After that night, they took us up. There was a building right up the little hill.
Mm-hmm.
We walk into it. And it was hot, let me say, a little bit warm. Walk into it, air conditioning blasts us in the face. There's this perfect stage and area for that would have worked perfect for all those people, lights and everything.
Yeah. They have no clue how to do comedy.
We sold little tuna fish sandwich CDs.
Yeah.
And $50. The first gig was $50.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I was at my parents' house the other night, and Sophie came. She was about to go to bed. She came running out, and... A tuna fish shirt, like an oversized tuna fish shirt. And I started singing the song. And she goes, "What's that?" And I was like, "You've never heard that song?" And so I thought about how many of your fans don't know about Tuna Fish Productions or Tuna Fish Comedy, which is what the company used to be called, Tuna Fish Band.
Yeah.
The tuna fish song, like Tuna Fish Sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And the tuna fish shirt, because like Todd, when I first started like working with you guys, and then I was asking Todd's advice on things, and he'd give me such great advice. He talked to me for like 30, 45 minutes on the phone. What about this? What about this? And, Tulsa, this is a good area to go here. And then I'd go, well, I got this shirt idea. And he goes, I can't help you with shirts. He goes, one time I went to the offices and he goes, let me show you something. And he walked me upstairs. He goes, this is some shirt ideas that we thought would work. Yeah. And it was just piles.
Yeah.
And a lot of them was the tuna fish shirts because he goes, you see these? And they were condensed down, vacuum sealed in the shape of a tuna fish can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The tuna fish shirt. Yep. And he goes, people would walk up and be like, huh. That's awesome. Then they said it. So he would always be like, I'll give you the best advice. He goes, I'll tell you everything that we did to make ourselves successful. But I can, he goes, shirts are such a crapshoot. You just don't know.
You don't know.
You just bet you're betting on yourself.
We still have two boxes full of those at the office.
It is funny when you think how many different shirts we tried.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just.
I mean, even since I've been around, we've had a bunch of shirts.
Heck yeah.
What if we talked about you either like hitting golf balls out into the audience or hitting like hockey pucks? What if you hit tuna fish, shirts as pucks?
Or vacuum seal the other shirts that people do like.
Well, they're
pretty heavy.
There may be 5 left in existence.
Oh, yeah.
Of what?
Yeah, they're pretty heavy. Yeah.
Oh, no, I have. I'm serious.
Need to do that.
I really have two boxes.
You really do have two boxes left?
Yeah.
We can just give Let's try next week. Maybe we can set the goal of we'll hit golf balls, hit plastic golf balls. See how that goes. Just hit a few.
Get one of those practice mats with a little
rubber. Yeah, a little practice mat.
Yeah. We think.
Sweet.
Should we try it?
Anything to spice it up. Sounds awesome.
I love it. The show is so... It flows. That second half, it just flows really well.
Yeah, the second half is really, really strong.
It's different, man. It's just so different than what I've ever done.
Just the keyboard part is...
Well, it's just you're hanging out. So you know, it's just you're hanging. It's just low-key.
Strong.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Dax Shepard. I'm joined by Minister Mouse, Monica Padman.
Hi there.
We have a really fun show. We want you guys to join. We talk to celebrities and professors and lawyers and doctors and very smart, interesting people. And we find out how messy their lives have been, how many twists and turns it took to get to where they're at, and a general exploration on the messiness of being a human being. And of course, Monica's, you'll get updates about her project, love life, you name it. So if you want to join us, please follow Armchair Expert to get new episodes every Monday and Thursday. Plus, find your other favorite podcasts free on Spotify.
It's a very good writing environment.
Too.
Here's one, Tim. Yeah, we talked about it before we started recording, but I thought it was interesting and might shed some light. How did you promote yourselves? I guess it's for all of us, but how did you promote yourselves early in your career? And how would you suggest someone go about that today, considering how easy it is to get lost in all the noise of the internet? Mm-hmm.
The first way we did was Heather and I were, you know, just doing this thing pretty much. And we did, like I would do a show at a church or something, and we would give them 10 letters with, you know, and ask them for 10 friends' names.
Really? That night you would do it?
Well, just at some point.
Yeah.
Hey,
follow up with
here's
them.
10 letters. Can you send these to 10 friends? They're stamped and everything.
Oh, wow.
Can you just send these to people who might want to do this? That was a lot of mailing out. I mean, they used to have mailing lists that you would purchase of all churches, you know, Baptist churches in this region or whatever. And you'd buy them, and then you just have your little pamphlet or whatever it was.
You have a stamp licking party in the kitchen one night and just go to
and send them all out.
That's crazy.
You never know what it would get to. Yeah. And then a few years of that, and then, of course, you know, YouTube came along, and that... The thing that amazed me about YouTube was it's free.
Mm-hmm.
It was just... Everything was free. And it was so perfect.
Yeah.
And it was so much more powerful.
So you got it right as it was starting.
Yeah, and we had, like, other ways, we had, like, a VHS tape with a demo, little 5-minute demo that we would send out.
That's not cheap to mail either, though, man. No. Good grief.
No. So it was a lot of word of mouth. It was a lot of, you know, that. And then there were some gigs you do, like, for a pastor's convention, where we did a Wesleyan pastor's convention, and I got shows off that for many years.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sometimes you'll do one gig, and you'll hear about it years later. Yeah. I saw you at the...
Yep.
And then some other, like almost everything I've ever gotten, I always tell other comics this, like, there's a point where you got to realize almost everything in your career is going to come from another comic.
Mm-hmm.
So just be good to other comics.
Yeah.
Like, don't be fake about it, but I'm saying, like, you need other comics to not only just see your stuff, like your stuff, but you need to know that you're cool hang, you're a fun guy, whatever it is, because it seems like you get like a tiny percentage from some guy in a suit, and then everything else is like, hey, Tim said you're funny, or you know, we just had Bob Smiley, and he said you got to have Johnny for your next one. Like, those kind of things are huge, and so, but I had comics who would push me, and I'd barely known them. I remember one time I was telling, because I just did a show in Lakeland, Florida, and Justin Fennell, it's his home church.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for, I mean, he opened for Warnke, I mean, back in the day. Yeah. So Justin was there, and I got to kind of honor him, because he did like 5 or 7 minutes to open, and then I was like, let me tell you something about Justin. I know he goes to church here, but... When I was doing this, I'd been doing it like 2 years, and this really is true. I did a church. They were bringing in a comic like every couple of months, this one church, and so they brought me in. He had just been there, and so he followed up with that church. Hey, how did Johnny do? They're like, oh, he's great. So then he found me at CCA in 2011, which was, that's when I met Todd, where I met you,
yeah,
in 2011 in Anaheim. So Justin comes to me, hey, man, I went and followed up with that church in Wichita, and they said you did a great job, and I go, yeah, and he goes, your Assemblies of God, which at that time I was going to an Assemblies of God church. And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, I know the youth district youth director, like the national youth director of the Assembly of God. And I go, really? He goes, yeah, yeah, I'm going to recommend you for this thing. It's called the DYD District Youth Directors Conference. It's mm-hmm. Super Bowl weekend. They all get together in Branson from all the regions, 50 states. And he goes, and they just, you know, you'd go up like at halftime Super Bowl. They don't play halftime because they're always afraid of like Janet Jackson situation happening. So they bring like an entertainer up to like audition for these guys. He goes, would you want to do it? And I go, I've been doing it like two years maybe. I go, I'll kiss you on the mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to do it. So yeah, I go, he'll forget about it. The next day after the session, he goes, oh, I forgot about that. He calls the guy. His name is Jay Mooney. He goes, Jay, I got the next guy. You know, I don't do youth anymore. This guy's the next guy. He's setting the world on fire. You're going to love him. Puts me on the phone. Jay goes, well, Justin doesn't do that. So if it's good enough for him, book your ticket. Let's go.
Right.
So I go and do that. And I did probably 20 things off that. So it was like, it's something I might have stumbled into 6 years down the road. Because I was doing okay, and that was my network of people, was those churches. But like, it was like somebody hit the fast-forward button for me, and I never forgot. It's like there's been so many people that God, I feel like, has put in my path that hit that fast-forward button for me. And it's huge. So I try to do that for other people, too. If I see, man, this guy's got something, you know, I try to do what I can.
Personal references are amazing.
Yeah.
They were very
So you paid him powerful. Back by giving him 5 minutes opener.
I gave him 5
your...
minutes. I said, get out of here, yeah. man. I kicked him in the butt. It was a weird thing. It got weird.
That's Johnny, you're that kind of guy. You're always giving back.
Yeah, you're just like the space shuttle when it just kicks off the engine and they just fall to the earth.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was like, anyway, can we get him back to the home? And then he had to be
the home.
No, Justin is. He's an awesome guy.
But I had to say that.
It's really, you know, as far
like,
as
I know you had guys
promotion,
help you early really on.
Well, you just never know sometimes what's going to work. I mean, no show is going to make you or break you, but there are those times that are significant.
Yeah.
Where they do make a difference. There's a guy named Steve Geyer that was a big Christian comedian back. Like he and Mark Lowry were kind of the biggest ones then, and he was just so nice. And he got me involved with Prison Fellowship.
Okay.
He got me involved there, so that kind of helped me when we were trying to go for full time. And but that was a wonderful experience. And it's such a slow burn.
Yeah.
Really,
it's a long haul thing. Like, well, I know, like,
because you're still learning. You're still learning the craft. I'm thankful that certain opportunities didn't materialize back then.
Well,
I had
a chance
to open for Mark Lowry at one point, and it didn't work out. And I'm like, I'm so glad because I wasn't ready.
Yeah,
it was he and Shonda, and they had somebody else, and I was in the running, but they didn't pick me. And I was like, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me because I wouldn't have been ready. I think I'm just glad. I needed years to develop.
Yeah, if you get it too early, then that's how they always remember you. Yeah, he was okay. They always remember you. He sweats a lot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly. So I think it's just important that, you know, when the opportunity is ready, you're ready. And so
when did you guys stop being worried about the outcome of every single show? I mean, I'm sure at some point you're doing a show and you're like, I don't know how it's going to work out, or I hope people like me, or like maybe you're not totally confident in your ability.
Yeah.
So at what point was that?
Sometimes it's about like, is the calendar full or close to full or full enough to where you're like, well, I'm going to be a comedian through April.
Yeah.
So this show in January can't really break me because I'm going to be a comedian at least till April. So I started feeling that like, okay, well, there's enough people that or whatever. But I still get rattled if I have a bad show a little bit. I'm like, I don't know. You make a decision on stage, you're like, I shouldn't have. I had other things. Why did I do that? You know?
Except those are the best, though. There's been a few shows in the last few years. There's usually one per year. And like the one I did for Michael W. Smith.
Yeah.
That was the worst show of the year.
Yeah.
That was my least favorite show because I was like, dang it. I tried to do new things and I didn't really just do the hits. And it's already kind of a, you know.
They're stiff.
It's a tough gig. And
you have a lot of entertainers kind of arm
folding.
Carrie Underwood's
there, and you're just like, you know, and she was great. She was so sweet and awesome. And but it's like, yeah, just it's like it's okay to do the old.
Yeah.
And it just changed. It was great. And I like even this year, and Caleb's noticed it too. It's like I'm pulling out whatever. I got enough new, and that's fine. I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Well, because so many of your fans, they don't know that.
I'm gonna do old. People want to hear the wife things you want to say to your wife, and yoga pants, mm-hmm. and Chick-fil-A, and I'm gonna do them.
Yeah,
and it's great, and I really like doing that. Because I fill in enough new, and that's
well, yeah. If somebody's, I just want to have fun. If somebody's been a fan of yours for 10 years, it'd be almost like going to Skynyrd and they didn't do Freebird.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, yeah, it was great, but why would he not play Freebird?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody commented in the Uber line the other night. They'd been following him since before Bananas 2.
Yeah.
And so they loved him bringing out some of the old stuff. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, my gosh.
I think that was the first thing I ever saw of yours was My Arms Are Broken.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my gosh. He did these bits and in these. Oh, my gosh. You know, they were loving it. They were loving it.
That might be a good idea. Just kind of go through the years like a quick montage of
the old
song, medley. The tuna fish stuff. And
yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's such. That's another thing. That's why I'm glad I didn't get certain opportunities, is because it's so fun to progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into a little bit bigger shows. The corporate events are a little bit more money and a little bit more production, and then you start getting I belong here.
Yeah,
you know. And then for me, another thing was just getting out of debt. I remember just having the check and I'm like, honey, we're done. We're paying the credit card bills off.
Yeah.
That meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
It's just like, or just proof that, okay, there's a future here. We really are doing this.
Yeah. Especially like you started this and you and Heather were together. So it's like, we've had conversations about that before. Mm-hmm. Like I always say, I've tried to starve my family in numerous ways. Like Curry's been with me. I was in a Christian rock band. I cleaned a church. Mm-hmm. I ran a housing ministry for mentally handicapped. I mean, I've just done every possible mm-hmm. non-paying thing. So when I decided, I think I want to be a comedian, Kirby was like, all right. And then when this like has worked out, it's just been so cool to be like, we're going to Alaska for 8 days and I'm being paid to do mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she was with me when it was like, we're going to go. There's a bowling alley. If I win the open mic, I get $100. And she'd ride with me for 2 hours to go to a bowling alley comedy night in the beginning. And then, you know, 4 years later, you're like, we're going to Alaska mm-hmm. because you believed in this. So it is a pretty cool moment.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you got to give yourself some credit, man. Yeah. I mean, I did a paper route, dude.
Yeah.
I'm 30-something years old, and I'm getting up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because we just, that was all we had.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning, you know, it's raining, you got my little minivan, and you're just rolling papers, and you're just driving us.
We went down to visit them, and we were staying with them. Mm-hmm. And he had to get up and go do his paper route that morning.
One
like
time,
3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, where's Tim? Oh, he's out doing his paper route.
And I'm just driving around. I remember one time it was
a lot of respect for that. A lot of respect.
Well, it's like you go.
It's a lot of respect.
It's Sunday papers were like, like a log.
Yeah.
Sunday was like a big day. Because it takes more work. And it weighs probably, you know, 6 pounds. And you've got it in the sack, you know? And we had apartment complexes where there's two stories. And, you know, at the first, I'm having to walk up the thing and throw the paper. We get so good at it, I just know I go in here and if I wing it this hard up the stairs, it's going to go to the second. You know what I'm saying?
You knew exactly
second
what you
door. Of course, one day I get there and I wing it and somebody just shows up right at the top of the stairs. And it whacked her right in the face. It just boom. And I was just like, oh! Whack. And there's another time I did that where I had to jump out of the car because for an apartment thing, because they don't have you just have to get out of your car. And I threw the paper and I came back and my van was gone. I didn't put it in park.
Oh.
So my van is just rolling down the street. And I'm just like, expletive, expletive, expletive.
Oh my God.
And I just dove into the van and just hit the brake and I remember I was just sitting there. I'm sweating and I'm just like, how did I get here? What am I doing?
I did that with when I was delivering pizzas. There were a couple times where I forgot to put it in park.
Yeah.
And there was one where the lady was at the door and she goes, your car's moving. I like had pizzas in my hand and like holding 2 liters, and I'm like running back to my car, hopping in with all this stuff. Like,
it was easy. Would you go back to doing something like that if it meant you could continue doing comedy?
or the alternative is you can't do comedy again.
I can't do comedy again.
Basically, like, you do comedy, but you don't get paid, and you got to figure something out.
No.
Would you go back to...
No.
No.
No. It's tough to say.
Because you hear from a lot of comics, they're like, this is my identity.
I would do it for free.
I don't know what else I would do. Like, I would do this for free. Yeah, but would you do that for free?
Well, you do it for free for a long time.
I know. We did it enough for free.
Yeah.
It would be really hard.
Yeah.
It'd be... I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it's wonderful, and I feel very grateful for it. But man, I don't know. It's a lot of work. It's just it. There's a price.
Yeah.
It takes away a lot of your thinking time and a lot of your time. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I got a question.
Mm.
Caleb, would you do your job for free?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would.
Wow.
There you go.
We just saved ourselves some money.
Rock show.
No, he's...
You know what? Dang it, I'm going to get a bus now.
Yeah.
If we're not paying Caleb anymore, let's get a bus.
We pay Caleb that much?
Do it. It's
a small bus.
What do you think?
Short bus.
What I do? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like, when you start out... Well, there's still shows that I do take for free. You know, if I have a chance to go do a show like Zany's, I consider that. If I do clubs, that's my own club. I'm in Nashville. Yeah. It's such a great room, so I'll jump on shows and I'll be like, sometimes they'll pay me like $100 or $50.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, and I'm just like,
do you do that at the workshop?
I'll just go.
I want to go,
but it's just, I don't need that money, so it's hard. I just remove it from the equation. I just go, I want to go hear these jokes in a great room full of strangers who don't have any interest in my career and see if they work there. So
that might make it even more fun.
Yeah.
Really? To do it for free. Because then you're just like, oh,
yeah.
I could just do what I want.
Have you ever thought about, you know, we have that new club in St. Louis, the Helium.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever thought about hopping up and doing like an opening spot for somebody? Like if Bergazzi came in town, like opening
I get that itch, that raw, just pure, club thing. Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
It'd be interesting to see you in a room like that.
To be able to go,
I mean, obviously, it would go,
you know,
well.
I'm pretty soft.
I
would say I'm pretty soft right now. I mean,
what does that mean?
It means, you know, every show I do, people know exactly who I am. They know exactly what they're going to get. They're ready to go from the beginning.
Yeah.
To go in. And there's some audiences you have to win over. I've done gigs like that. You know, some recently you feel like, they really didn't know. But, that would
be interesting to go.
It'd be fun to like go up. Like if we were ever on a run like this where there's an earlier night, it'd be fun to go just find an open mic somewhere and just go up and just film it with our phones or something just to see. And we can immediately destroy it if it doesn't go well.
Oh, I'm keeping it forever.
I don't know. I think there's some things I go, well, I said yes to this, and it was a bottom line decision. This is a corporate thing. This was for money. And some things you go, well, I believe in this cause. I want to do this, and you don't even think about it. And then sometimes you just go, this is a cool opportunity. It's a historic room, like if it's Zany's or if... You know, if you like, for instance, we've talked forever about you doing the Ryman because you do so much music in your show. The Ryman's a historic place.
Yeah.
I was like, if you ever did the Ryman, I'd be like, you don't even have to. I would do that for free.
Yeah,
10 times out of 10, I'd be like, just somehow I want to be on that show, on that stage, in that room, and I would not care.
Yeah,
so it would never be like a bottom line decision. It'd be like, this is a bucket list thing.
And even when people say, okay, I want you to do this show for a really big amount of money.
Yeah.
I mean, my thinking is, well, the government's going to take half of it.
Yeah.
I'm working with 12 other people, you know. I just, it's not like I'm, you know, making all this, every cent goes in my pocket. It's not, it's far from that.
Right.
So it's like, do I want to leave my family for a night for this? No, I don't want to, no. You know, if it's something that's like a...
Yeah,
corporate deal or something that's like that.
Well, and then you consider like what? I mean, I remember the first.
I mean, I'm loaded. Let's not be stupid.
doing pretty well.
But I remember, like, the first corporate gig I did with you, you were, like, kind of asked to do something. I just remember you being like, well, Caleb's going. Like, I'm only doing this if Caleb's going. Yeah. Because at some point, or if Freight's going, or now if Alex is going, because at some point you add all these different elements, and if somebody's not there to run the elements, it makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And so if that person's not there, you're like, okay, well, then I'm going to have to think about this and this and this. And like, you couldn't just do your show and the tracks wouldn't just happen. Right. Like, you just wouldn't have them.
Well, right now, there you go. I mean, we've got our show, and it's, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, remember when Kentucky, when our bus broke down, you were with us and we had to kind of
strip it down. Come on.
And we just went back to an acoustic, and it was a stripped down version, but it was a lot of fun. It was, I mean, we could do it.
Yeah. I was running on a different console that I hadn't run in years. Yeah. And we were like, okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, now, I mean, I'm doing my thing for, gosh, over an hour. The second half, first half is 45, 50 minutes. That's almost 2 hours. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. You know, that's a lot of stage time. So we could pare it down and do it. I mean, that's kind of, I want to sit down and, you know, we talked about just looking over the past and remaking tracks and having these pieces. Like, I want to do these tonight. Mm-hmm. Change it up a little bit and do an acoustic set.
Yeah. Well, we'll be ready for the new rig. I mean, we'll be ready by the first run in January. Yeah. So, like, over the break, can figure out, just start pooling together songs and hit up Aaron for producing them and just get everything ready to go. Yeah. And I was thinking about that tonight, actually, because, you know, our current closer is Potty Train. Mm-hmm. But I remember there's been many times where you would just give a different vocal cue and, like, we know what song you're going to do. So it's like, you go into the bit about your wife and we know it's the love song that you're going to do. So that means it's the Boys to Men song or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you could do that with every song on the show at any point that you wanted, that'd be so cool.
I think it'd be cool.
Like 50 songs.
I think it'd be super cool if you'd still did like you took a request. And what you could do is have people shout, and you could only, like, if you heard one that you knew and remember, that's the one I heard. You know, you don't have to do exactly what. Yeah. You just wait till you hear the right suggestion. You're like, I remember that one.
You don't probably have to do it. Hear it.
Yeah. Just,
that would be fun.
Yeah. I heard. Just make up a thing.
Oh, I'm going to play a new one.
Exactly. What's that? New song? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, all the production will be in place. That'll be cool. That'll be really fun. Keep everybody on their toes.
Yeah. Man, that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Just want to break it down.
Thanks for giving us money to buy lights.
Is it break it down? Break it down. Strip it down.
Yeah. Just throwing a set here.
On the edge of this pair.
On the edge of this pair.
Watch the sunset disappear.
When you have sick, like, harm, one arrow.
Smack a deer. No, it's got to be something different, man.
Oh, my gosh. So my niece turned 11 this week, and I bought her... I'm giving her a present Sunday, and I bought her a compound bow and real arrows and like a target. It's like a starter compound, though.
Uh-huh.
But I just thought, oh, that'd be dangerous. I'm the fun uncle. I could, but I got permission. I'm like, what do you think of this? My brother hunts. He's like, it'd be great. I want to take her out hunting with me eventually.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care about that. I don't like the idea of that. I just wanted to have something dangerous to play with.
Right.
That's fun.
Now there's holes in their living room wall.
Well, I got one of those like block targets. It's like foam that you buy.
Yeah,
whatever.
Sure. Yeah, but take her a while to start hitting
That's true. We'll see. Get up close. So I'm interested to see what will happen with that. But I'm kind of nervous, but kind of like, am I going to be the cool uncle? This would be pretty That's a pretty cool gift, right?
Or the responsible uncle.
Or the responsible. Yeah.
The one responsible.
Are the irresponsible responsible for
this? I don't know.
This just in. We have pictures of the man who gave his niece
A compound
Who thought
bow.
This was appropriate? It said ages 8 to whatever, 8 to 13. So.
You said she's 11?
Yeah, she's 11. She just
That's
turned
the
11.
Year in Missouri, at least, that you can hunt.
She's such a quiet kid.
Your hunter's yeah. safety course.
I don't know.
You probably would be the one to survive. I didn't That's know that.
Well, mine. She was like a real into dolls and stuff, and then she started to do more tomboy things, and they have fun. They have 7 acres now.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this is kind of a cool thing Josh. To do. If you have 7 acres, you can they can shoot guns if they wanted, but I mean, I'm not going to do guns, but bow
and
arrow.
Can she pull it back?
Well, it's like a kid, so it's a little bit easier to pull. Yes. I didn't get her the full on.
Yeah, it's the pounds. It's like, right. Yeah. It's 10 pounds, it's like 70 pound, 70 pound, whatever.
Draw. I think draw, is that the right word?
I Sounds think like 65, like 70 true. Like that. Yeah. For a kid, maybe it's like 30, maybe 20.
Drawn.
Drawn, drone.
Drone.
Is it drone? Did you drone that?
Okay, Tim, you said you were going to say,
because hey, somebody asked,
what stupid joke still makes you laugh, oh, yeah. even though you know it's stupid?
Just when we're driving, we'll drive by, we'll see a big hay bale.
Yeah.
And I, hey!
Hey!
My wife and I like, what?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, that's...
Still a dad. I still just think the tackiest dad joke. You do funny. Comedy for a living. Can't escape
yeah.
the dad
yeah,
jokes.
Yeah, the dumber the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making your wife laugh is very... There's something yeah. about it. I love yeah. it so much.
Uh-huh.
Same.
Oh, same. Same.
Yeah, Alex likes making my wife laugh, too.
It's kind of weird.
You creep.
You make Stay goon. Away from her.
Honey, what are you laughing at? Oh, Alex.
He's texting me.
I remember one time, she can never find her. I may have told you this, but she can never find her name. I think she has a really weird name. Her name's Curry, which was her mother's maiden name. Mm-hmm. That's how she got the name Curry. So, of course, she grew up not ever having, like, you go into these gift shops and all the kids look for their name on the mugs or whatever, yeah. bookmarks, and she's like, Curry.
She never had Elijah's never had plate it. For her bike.
Never had any of that. So, one time we were in this store and they have all these, like, teddy bears and they have little sweaters and the sweaters all have names on them. And she's, like, just walking around the store and I go, there's one with your name on it. And she runs over. Are you serious? I go, get over here. And it was like a Christmas bear. And the sweater said, ho, ho, ho. It was so mean. Yeah. She hit me so hard. And it was so worth it.
It's like, the joke's worth it. I'll take it. I'll take the abuse.
It's a badge of honor, this bruise. So mean.
Oh,
but yeah, she likes silly stuff, and so I always like the hay thing. Anything like that is really just real silly. She loves it.
Or like we'll drive over a dam.
Damn.
Yeah.
What?
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. I saw right there. A post on Facebook the other day, and it was something like "crap Christians say" or something, and it was a picture of a dam, and it said "dang."
Yeah.
It's a dang.
It's a dang.
Well, you heard dang. The one about the my buddy's a. Pentecostal pastor and he's having dinner with this old Pentecostal preacher and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the menu and he goes to order the old guy and he's that guy. He ordered the chicken chest sandwich.
The chicken chest.
Chicken chest. And the wife looks over my friend. She goes, he doesn't say breast.
It's funny.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh boy,
that's great.
Here's something I think it's maybe a material. It's like when somebody texts you something and they misspell a word, and then they'll text you back with an asterisk and then the word they wanted to say.
Yeah,
sometimes that's kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, it's obvious what they meant.
Like your wife is like hogs and kisses, and then asterisk. Hugs. Like, oh, I'm glad she texted that because I thought she meant like kisses and a pig or kisses and pigs.
Bringing pigs over.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I'm glad.
I do it because I have a thing amongst pretty much all my friends where, and Alex and I do this all the time, if somebody misspells something, your job is to get back to them as quickly as possible and correct them and act like they're the biggest idiot in the world. Yeah. So that's the reason I send the correction.
Really?
Yeah, it burns in my brain if I don't fix those things, if I realize that I've just
Okay,
sent
Dave Lehman is just one of my best friends ever. I love him dearly. One of the funniest guys I know, but he really wants to give me material.
Yeah.
And once in a while. So he texts me today, and here's the text. I have a funny living will not that you can add onto your mom dad stuff. I promise. Lucky Lamo, guzrentee instead of guarantee. Let me read that again.
What?
I have a funny living will not that you can add onto your mom dad stuff. I promise. Lucky Lamo, guzrentee.
What are you drinking?
That makes no sense. And then he writes back, bit. Ha, ha, ha. It is funny. Guarantee. And then he calls me a bad name. And here's his bit. All the money my dad saved on not buying me food and drive-thrus coming back to haunt me. You see, he made me the trustee of his living will. And then he... And then in parentheses, he writes, they laugh. He's being...
Pause for applause like, break.
This is where they're going to laugh.
It's a scientific formula.
They laugh. And then it's, I know, right? I was shocked.
What was the deal with old people?
I was shocked. Well, he is going through attorney expenses to get it changed to my golden boy brother. I was like, he needs physical therapy if he's going to continue to golf. No, no, no. I will not have my dad suffer. Pull the plug. Dad has a cavity. We need to put him down. I will not have him have any discomfort. And then he writes, you can make that great. I promise. So I have Dave Layman's promise that bit is going to work.
The Dave Layman guarantee.
I just love that. You see, he made me the trustee of his living will, ... parentheses. They laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Dave! And he's just so... And I get what he's trying to say. It's what he's saying is, he's going to... have a small procedure done. I'll just put him down. You know, just like, just get rid of him, you know. Which I get that. It's just.
They laugh.
Oh. I wish I could tell my mom text story, but I can't tell it.
You were there.
I did.
You heard it.
Here's, let me give you the gist. My mom.
I don't know how you're going to sanitize this.
Yeah, I don't either. Who's told me the story?
I'll give you the gist is my mom. Thought she was texting someone from her Bible study.
Right.
So she texted, hey, whatever, I just wanted to say that just remember how long and wide and high and deep is the love of God, Ephesians, whatever.
This is the fourth text she sent to
this
person.
And she sent to this person, and finally the person, it was a wrong number, and the dude just texts back, basically saying, stop texting me in a very... And then he repeats the verse, but then he says something about how high and wide and deep something is.
And, and hearing her retell it was just...
And hearing her, she's like, I was texting Janice from Bible study. And I was like, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Hearing your mom say those words is always jarring.
Oh,
anytime you hear your mom, whoa, hey, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's so great.
My gosh.
And I used to have, it might be when we were dating or something, and I would go off and just on these terrible tirades, just horrible, horrible tirades. And my mom would just, and Heather was like, what are you doing? And I, because mom was just, she's so cool.
Yeah.
She gets it.
She gets it.
We had a couple local shows in St. Louis last week, and Tim's mom and dad were there, and Tim's dad doesn't normally sit in on the shows, and he sat in on the show, and he was in view of, Todd was there, and Todd sat in the booth with me.
Yeah.
And he was in view of Todd and I, and we were watching him like the whole time. Yeah. We're watching both of them to see if they're laughing. And when Tim did the mom and dad material, his dad was crying laughing. He was laughing so hard, and it brought me so much joy.
Oh, dude, I've seen your dad cry at the shows. Yeah,
my gosh, it was so
you can tell he's
funny.
Very moved by it.
We're talking about having our wife's laugh and how great that is. Yeah. Just dad and mom. I mean, that's probably why we do what we do.
Yeah,
don't you think that was the 100%. First?
I did a radio interview one time, and they said, what are your influences? And I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, I don't even know. Like, Don Knotts, Tim Conway. And I started listening, and I was like, and then I go, it was like people that made my mom laugh. And then it hit me that what I just said, and I started, like, crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever made my mom laugh, that's who I wanted to be.
Yep.
Goose!
Yeah, buddy.
You look like you're still asleep.
The crew's here. The drivers are here.
Drivers is here.
No, he ain't ready.
All
you're
right,
not ready
Goose.
To
What's
drive.
Up, Goose?
Texas.
What's up, Goose?
Shut up. And
shut,
take
up.
Your
shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Jason is a stupid kid.
What?
What?
That's a dog. Dead on top.
I have no idea.
Animosity amongst the drivers.
Is this driver drama again, Mark? We need to sit you down.
Never.
Driver drama.
Oh, man. Any other good questions for us?
Some good questions.
Yeah, yeah,
thank you guys
good.
For sending questions. It's really,
yeah, somebody asked what Disney villain we would be.
Disney villain?
Yeah.
Somebody with a stash that you could.
Ursula.
Anybody Gaston? No?
Gaston.
You think
Gaston?
Yeah, I guess he's a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a villain.
Caleb's Gaston?
Did you hear about the new Aladdin movie?
Live action Aladdin?
Yep. Will Smith is going to be.
Oh, I didn't know this. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Really?
Be the genie.
Really?
Oh.
The genie. Yep.
Oh, I think he'll make a great genie.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Well, it's late, y'all.
It's late.
It's a late show. 12:22. Good night.
Fun time.
Good night at my bed.
Well, great job, everybody.
You too, man. Way to tell those jokes and sing the songs. Play the guitars.
Singing songs and telling the jokes for the peeps.
How do you feel like the new song's going?
Good.
Yep.
Good. I love the patch and the keyboard. It's fun.
A little Rhodes action.
Some Rhodes.
Well,
yeah.
What are you loving?
It's only been a week. I
gotta
get something I'm loving.
I'm loving a new podcast that I found. It's called American Scandal. And so far it's been a 5-part thing on the Balco scandal and the arrests and Victor Conti.
The steroid thing,
Barry Bonds and all that.
Yes.
And all the behind the scenes stuff.
It's fascinating.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Is it Victor Conti?
Victor Conti used to play
bass for the Tower of Power.
And, which I had no idea that was all covered in it.
And yeah. I read, he didn't
graduate college. This is a guy who developed like drugs that could beat the test, and he did not graduate college.
I read Canseco's book when it came out.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was the only one that could have done anything about the steroids problem because he was the grandfather of steroids in baseball.
Yeah.
So he knew everybody that was taking, because he taught everybody.
Yeah.
And gosh, that was a fascinating book.
Yeah, that whole thing, now that we know, because this is 10 years after the fact, and it was in the courts for 8 years of that. And it's, I love the story behind the story of like how the scandal unfolded. And
yeah.
So that's been a cool thing.
So American Scandal. Is this just one thing they're talking about?
No, they'll go on to the next thing. I think Nixon's what they're doing coming up. Maybe the Nixon, the Watergate thing.
Yeah,
cool.
So they just kind of dissected, and each one's like 30 minutes. So they just, it's like a couple hours.
I need to get into a podcast. I'm not really listening.
I was listening to one after that because I have that 6-hour drive to St. Louis to catch the bus. So I got into one of their other ones called Business Wars, which I thought, well, I don't know if I like this, but it was Netflix versus Blockbuster and how that war went down and how it unfolded behind the scenes. And you think of these little weird things of like one guy being a little too arrogant one time or saying something out loud he shouldn't have at a meeting, and one guy takes and runs with it, and it makes Coke beat Pepsi, or it makes Netflix beat, like, you don't realize how it's all on a razor's edge.
Yeah.
These margins of these businesses and who wins the war.
Yeah.
Sony versus Nintendo, all that stuff.
Right.
We're doing one on HD DVD versus Blu-ray, and that battle of like who was going to be the high def. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm fascinated by this stuff of like, because Netflix changed everything. And you look at like how close they were to folding. Like they were close to bankrupt and close to losing that battle when they just pushed all the way through. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Dang. So American Scandal.
American Scandal, and that one's called Business Wars.
Okay.
But
yeah, I've been Better Call Saul is a great show.
Oh, it's
I
so
just
good.
Really enjoy it. So wonderful. It's kinda like Breaking Bad Light. A little more levity. But it's still
And I like that they're letting the characters develop slow and
love that show.
They create drama even though you know what's gonna happen.
I know.
They found a way to make you sit on the edge of your seat and it's like that's great writing. Yeah.
I love it that things unfold. You're like, what is he doing? Why is he mailing all these letters? And who is he mailing these letters to?
Yeah.
And you just get the point where I think you're going to find out.
It's a bigger, to me, it's a bigger accomplishment than Breaking Bad because he's having to work. It's almost like what George Lucas tried to do with the prequels in Star Wars, but failed at.
Yes.
Yeah.
He made it really campy and not great. Yeah. It was not as bad as ever makes it out to be, but it definitely didn't succeed. He's like, you know what this guy's going to be. I'm going to show you how he became that.
Yes.
And still create
and you know
moments
this person
of up
isn't
going
to be there at all. So what happens to this person?
Yeah. Right.
I really read a little bit of the backstory on, is it Lalo? The guy that, is it?
Nacho?
No. Lalo.
Quesadilla.
The guy that came in and he was cooking in the kitchen. Burrito. It was like, you know,
Salamanca. He's with the with the top.
Don't ruin anything.
But
yeah, don't. If you ruin someone, I'm gonna be so mad.
These are issues that are already so mad.
I'm not caught up. I'm not caught up.
I haven't even started it. I haven't started it.
People, we got listeners.
And we got listeners that haven't seen it.
Was his name in Breaking Bad. His name was only mentioned one time, and now this guy's a character.
Yeah, they're giving this whole fleshed out.
Yeah,
persona. I need to watch
Better Call Saul.
It was like, you could.
And what did they know?
Well, I didn't know where he came from, so I actually went back. And read. I
think Tim actually auditioned for a character who burned down a house because the chili was too hot. It's a whole backstory.
Full circle.
The chili was too hot. Oh man! And they slowed it down. My brother took a suke. He went away to school.
Oh my god!
Yeah, oh, man,
it's good.
Yeah, no, that I love Better Call Saul. I record it so then I can fast forward through the commercials and I can watch it because I can't.
Michael McKean was so good in season one.
He's great. He's like
season three, I guess.
Always good.
And, he's always good. I tweeted him, so I follow him on Twitter and I tweeted him and said, "This is one of the best performances and it's so great." And he tweeted me back and said, "Thanks so much for watching." Yes. It was really cool. And he runs his own account. You can tell. You can usually tell when somebody's running their own account.
We were going to say, but anybody else want to share a lovey?
Cold weather.
Yeah.
Fall, you guys.
Pumpkin spice. Snowed on us this morning when we got here. It was snowing. Loading in during the
PSLs, guys.
What, we're going to talk about apps.
Oh, yeah. What apps on your phone are you kind of ashamed of?
Well, let's first start out with some that I use a lot.
All right.
I've got a new one, My Radar for weather. It just shows weather patterns and stuff, and I find myself going to it all the time, and it's usually right.
Hmm.
It's called My Radar. I really like. I have a Menards. I don't. I'm not really proud of that.
What do you do with a Menards?
Well,
app?
You order. You can order stuff.
How? You order stuff that often from Menards?
No.
Are you ordering like 2x4s?
No.
You have an assistant to do that now. You delete that
Menards
app. Delete that app. Menards is your assistant.
It's right.
How's that whole thing going? You retiring from doing stuff as a human?
Really,
and
yeah,
we had people to do everything.
Jorge came this week, and he's going to be our handyman. Yeah, he's great. Oh yeah,
I thought you were making a joke.
No,
his name's actually
we met with
Jorge.
Him this week. He's great.
What
he's
a sweet guy.
He's perfect. So he's going to come once a week for a while and just.
What's he doing? Just
well,
out.
Just he's got he does lots of stuff. He does
he coach
stuff
chili.
Around the house. Inside. Okay.
Racist freak. So he can do the accent.
It was about a play. It was a musical.
He was an innocent child. You should know better.
It's just a child.
This is 2018.
Racism is cute with a kid.
So I get no credit for the comedic timing on that, right?
Comedic
timing. No, none.
Comedic.
Commodity.
Really?
Commodic.
I give it the Frank Guzman tea.
Commode.
Commodity.
Hey, I've got an app just to add mustaches to photos.
Oh, do
just
you?
Different size mustaches.
I like that.
Wow.
You can shrink them down.
I have a Darren Streblo app.
That's interesting.
Is that the app that you don't want?
That you play the...
No.
It's my rain app.
Okay.
Do you like go to sleep with that?
Yeah.
I have a kind of like... I have a measure app.
You're kind of like the youngest.
Oh, is that what the...
It
what?
Will... It's... Find a nearby surface to measure.
That's on all iPhones. It's on the new iPhones.
That is cool.
What is it? Oh, the measure app.
Of course, Solitaire, Uber, Lyft, Primed Mind. You still use Primed Mind?
Yep. I actually
was in like for a while, but I got back.
My master built smoker app.
What?
That's so
nice,
I can see how much
program it.
See how much the temperature of the meat I'm smoking.
What
was that?
Yeah.
Let's see here.
My favorite app is the Zero app right now.
What's that?
It's just it times my intermittent fasting.
Oh, okay.
It's been really good.
I have my fan
app. Oh, it
lets
you know when to eat?
Yeah. When your fast is over.
It's my fan app.
For that one.
Shazam is awesome.
I just got this Albert. Have you guys heard of that? It's called the Albert app. It's like a budgeting app. And they have, like, you can text people and ask them questions on, like, how to save money and do different things. It's super interesting. Or, like, and they, there's, like, real Albert? Life people that reply to you for, like, if you ask them if you can afford
send
certain
us,
things.
Send
like
us
that.
Your favorite apps, guys, if you're listening. What's an app we can't live without?
There's one I had called Spreader. It's a speed reading course. It's pretty cool. Teach you how to speed read.
I made the mistake Spreader. Of downloading all of the food delivery apps on my phone. And so when I'm binge watching a show of my choosing at my house, while I'm watching the show, I just flip through each app to see which one of my favorite restaurants is delivering food to my house. And that has turned into a very dangerous endeavor that I need to stop doing.
You need to
because
get a handle on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad news.
I have a U-Haul app.
What, do you really?
You're renting moving trucks that often?
It was when I rented a moving truck to bring Josh home from school last year. And
what's an app that you use the most? An app that's not already on your phone, like not an Apple app, but an app that you had to download. What do you use the most?
Instagram.
That you had to download?
Yeah, that I mean like, okay, so the settings app isn't in, like that wouldn't be an option. Yeah, messaging like app wouldn't be an option.
Right.
Saying what app that you had to download do you use the most?
Probably Solitaire.
You had to do that?
You had to download it.
Yeah. So it didn't come with is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Saying.
Yeah. I like my Solitaire app.
I like my TrailLink app. It's like
trail running.
Trail running or riding.
Oh, does biking too?
Yeah.
I know that.
I've got a Zomoto app that has my three cameras, one outside for the front yard, one for my backyard, and then one's like a little nanny cam to watch, keep an eye on my dogs.
Oh, you're one of those
people. So I look at it sometimes
where
I'm just like, I just want to see if they're whatever. And then I can talk to them. I can go, drop it, or whatever. Then they can hear me.
It's like making eggs.
You are total dog dad.
The dog's making eggs. I am a dog dad.
You are a major dog dad.
Dog dad.
Yeah.
Hey, dog dad.
App I use the most is probably Instagram. Close second would be Golf Now. Actually, I use my fantasy hockey app more than the Golf Now. No.
Instagram is so cool.
Apps you're embarrassed
by? I actually
by?
Use Sheets a lot because I put my gains. I have a gains spreadsheet.
Cheats. What did you say, Cheats?
Sheets.
Oh, Sheets.
Just Google Sheets. Yeah. I have a spreadsheet that has
any apps you're embarrassed by.
I've got Angry Birds Star Wars. That's
pretty embarrassing.
That's pretty dated.
Spotify.
Is that embarrassing?
I just use Apple Music. I don't know. I just realized
it's like,
that it was
it's
on
only
there.
The Britney Channel. So
I've got Dwarf Watch. It's like a shows you where the closest
<You're a> dwarf.
People with dwarfism.
Not real.
And that's not racist.
Dwarfs aren't a race.
No. Dwarfs aren't a race. Dwarfs aren't a race. You psycho. Not
that's incredible.
What?
I gotta go to bed.
That's I think we tired. Hang up on the
earth. Oh my gosh. Dwarf Watch.
Yeah.
I would totally get that app.
Register.
It's just an app where you can
register.
It just has
you know where the nearest little person
cartoon
is.
Cartoon dwarfs.
Yeah.
It's like a, yeah. It's a Disney thing.
So stupid.
That's a joke that makes me laugh that I wish didn't. 6 out of 7 dwarfs aren't happy.
Dumb.
So dumb.
Oh, it's cool.
I love it.
All right. Love dumb jokes.
I got my KC95 app.
That's cool. That is nice because they tell you who's coming up, don't they? Like who they're going to be
like
playing.
Like who they're playing and who just played. I think it's like who they just played, who's playing, and who's getting ready to play.
Shut up.
And let's see who they're playing right now. Let's just see.
Yeah,
YouTube.
Shut up.
I use YouTube more than anything, though. It's like trying to knock over a Coke machine. You got to tip it and rock it.
Yep.
You can't just end the show.
No.
All right, guys. It's been real. Fun trip.
It has been real. It's going to be a short night.
Thanks for telling jokes. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, buddy.
You guys are the best.
Johnny is.
Thanks for not being a nub.
Oh, I don't know what that.
Thanks for being cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a good time at Buffalo Wild Wings last night. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
We talked about
dude stuff.
We got in the Uber, and I go, we just talked about dude stuff for 2 hours. Like, we just talked about sports.
So, do you know, here's one thing we brought up. Because I know I can be Cliff Clavin, but I can be like, well, I can really. But this is a thing that I didn't know if they knew, and I had remembered it. There was a guy in the minor leagues, AA ball, who was traded for a bag of bats. Like, that was the deal.
Right.
10 maple bats.
Right. And these are really good bats.
I was just fascinated by the idea that, like, that would totally be me if I was like, I barely made the majors, and then, like, they negotiate. Whatever over in that corner, that bag of balls, just we'll give you weather.
Yeah, they're looking around. that water cooler. Right there.
I'll take that.
Yeah, and then he sent me his Wikipedia bio.
I sent the Wikipedia entry.
It's true.
Like, yeah.
That's a true thing.
And then the guy, like, turned to drugs, and he died in 2000.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It wasn't a good ending.
No, didn't pan out well.
It wasn't like, now he's a youth pastor. No, he didn't know what he was.
It never ends well. The curse of the bag of bats.
Ah, oh, sad. Anyway.
What you doing over there?
Fred's over here with the Tony Robbins commercial.
That was my
Tony Robbins.
He's still trying to figure out who's playing on Casey.
Tom Petty just got done.
Shut up and take your blessing.
That's a twofer.
Shut up and take
There's
your blessing.
There's a threefer.
Mm-hmm. That's a fourfer.
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 Why am I hearing myself in my one ear? Why? Well, I seriously don't like hearing myself. Shut up and take your blessing.
What's the laughing of mine? Because you told me you dropped that.
What drops do we have?
I never heard it.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
That's a great
laugh. All right, here's our drops.
Never heard that one.
Got him. Stinker smother boog.
Why am I hearing myself in my own ears? Why? I seriously don't like hearing myself. Shut up and take your blessing.
Really?
Goff.
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 Hey, Goff. Who's that quarterback for the Rams?
Goff.
Jared. The author, Bob.
Goff.
Oh, well.
I like that. We're just getting started.
What was the... did you ever... that music, that song that we played...
Yeah. Yeah, it's in there.
Play it.
What song? Well, it's not in this. I have it cut as a drop, but I haven't imported it in QLab.
Okay. What song was it?
The John Mellencamp. Oh.
I played that for Curry. We were laying in bed. I go, you got to hear this. And so I had to, like, scrub through the thing to get to it. And she was cackling.
It's like, hot.
There you go. Quit. That's it.
What? John, did you have a stroke?
Well, then there, Diane.
Don't lose that feel.
What did you do, Diane? Hey, John, turn on the jet ski.
Well, then there, Diane.
It's in one of the most famous songs of all time.
Yeah.
That's great. He said that he kept in the claps.
Yeah.
That was just for.
That's just what I heard. I heard that on, like, VH1 Behind the Music or something.
Yeah.
But it was a timekeeping thing, and then he was like, when I took it out, I missed it. So he put it back in.
Here's another one.
Did he know that?
What is this one?
3 weeks later, he
Do
would
the
be
different
in.
Colors taste different?
Oh, is that? That's when you were eating.
Yeah.
You were eating
the
something.
The Fruit Loops or something.
Do the different colors taste different?
You're so stupid.
What?
Guys, seriously, let's be real here.
That could be whenever Racist Freight comes
that
on.
That could be Tim on. Tim after smoking a couple of J's.
Buh.
What?
That was that one you told me to cut from last week.
Buh.
Buh.
Remember I was trying to read the beef thing? I said buff. And you said that needs to be a drop.
Oh, okay.
Buff.
Buff.
That's like the Kavanaugh hearings. What the guy asked him about?
Oh, no.
What was it called? Boofing? He goes, all right, it's flatulence when we're 16. You want to talk about that now? Okay, let's talk about it.
I love that.
Yeah, let's do that. It's a great time.
Good Lord.
What a circus.
All right.
Good
Shut
night.
Up and take your blessing.
That's a fifer.
Fifer.
I can't take off my headset. I got to shut the whole thing down. Somebody else has got to go first.
Yeah. You go.
No, you go.
No, you. No, you hang out first.
You go.